Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I love that hymn because it tells the whole story, right? It tells the whole story from the time that the grave is discovered empty to the time that Thomas comes back to believing in Jesus. And there are many hymns like that, and that's one of the beauty of our hymnal is that there are so many that tell the story. They're not just, you know, I hate to say it, the happy clappy. They actually tell the story. They tell the story of our faith, which is so much, so strengthening for us. Today we are 1 week past Easter, so Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
He still is. Just checking. He still is risen. This is, you know, when Jesus shows up to his disciples, it's hard for them to understand what's really going on, and yet all that Jesus wants from them at this point is faith. Just believe that he's risen. That's what he wants. He hasn't really sent them out to do anything yet. He hasn't instructed them on how to go about the business of the church. He hasn't given them any assignments. He simply is there so that they can believe. And why not? I mean, it had to be hard for them as they discover that the tomb is empty and as everybody is sharing stories about who they saw, and was it the gardener? No, it was Jesus. And was it one angel or two angels? Well, we saw angels. It doesn't matter how many there were. And all of these things about how exciting it was. And then to realize that by being excited even, they were in the crosshairs of the Pharisees and Sadducees who were out to get them. See, the Sadducees was the group of Jewish leaders in the church, the synagogue, who denied the resurrection. They didn't believe there was going to be a resurrection. So they were Jewish believers, but they didn't believe that there was going to be a resurrection. So when Jesus rises, when Jesus is resurrected, well, now they have to figure out a way to quiet that. We don't want that getting out. And so the disciples understand what's going on, and so they're hiding. They're behind locked doors. They're still very raw with grief over Jesus dying and then disappearing and not really understanding, and so they're afraid. And Jesus shows up to them not to chastise them for hiding, not to tell them that they're, you know, horrible disciples because they abandoned him when he was arrested, but to bring them peace. And that's the first thing he does. He shows up to them and says, "Peace be with you. Calm your hearts. Calm the anxiety. Calm the fear. Peace be with you." And then to show the disciples who he is. Now, it's not just Thomas, right, who gets to see the hands and the side. The disciples do too. He shows them his hands and his side and says, it's me. It's Jesus, the one and the same. Peace be with you. So Jesus shows up to his fearful, struggling, grief-stricken disciples to bring them peace. Now, Thomas wasn't there, as we know, as we sung. Thomas wasn't there, and so Thomas misses out on this first encounter with Jesus. And when the disciples get back, and Thomas gets back, and wherever he was, whatever he was doing, and they tell him once again that they've seen Jesus, just like they, you know, the women had said, "We saw Jesus, and the Lord is risen," and all of this stuff, and Thomas says, I have nothing to show for that. And neither do you, he says. He says, until I see the hands and the feet and the hole here, until I actually touch it, it's all done for me. He doesn't say, you know, "Well, I kind of doubt your story, disciples. You've got some holes in it, your story." And he's not just kind of skeptical. He actually says, I'm not going to believe. I don't have any reason to believe. I don't have any reason to have faith anymore. Thomas is ready to walk out the door on all of this. The only reason he's there is because his life is in danger, and so he has to hide with them. He's associated with them. But at this point, a week later, he doesn't want to have anything to do with it, and he says, unless I see him myself, forget it. I'm done. I'm going to go back fishing, or whatever Thomas did before he was one of the disciples. He was ready to throw in the towel. He wasn't just doubting, he was faithless. As our hymn sung, did you remember singing that in the hymn? He was faithless. He wasn't just doubting, he was faithless. He didn't believe. He was in danger, not just physically, but now eternally. He was in danger of throwing it all away. Doubts can be like that. Faithlessness can be like that. It doesn't take much. It doesn't take much to sort of trip you up on that path. And I hear it all the time from people who are not believers. I hear it all the time, well, if God were real, then the world would not be like this. That's one of the biggest issues that I hear from people who don't believe in God, and because they think if God were real, if Jesus were real, and if his people really believed in him the way that they say they do, this world wouldn't be like this. We wouldn't have so much destruction and sadness and grief and pain and war and all of the bad things. If God were real, he would fix all of this. Well, that would be nice. And we do look forward to the day when he does fix all of this, but until then, this world is a mess. If you're going to base your belief in God who created the world on the state of the world, well, it's going to be a hard sell. It really is. Just as for Thomas, if you were going to base your faith on this story these guys were telling about an empty tomb, that's a hard sell. Human beings got to have the tangible. We got to have the things we can touch. We got to have the things we can feel with our hands, and see with our eyes. We need that. And that's why Jesus shows up to those disciples in the first place. He realizes that their faith is hanging by a thread. Their lives are in danger and their faith is hanging by a thread. So he shows up to bring them peace, to calm their hearts. And then he goes and he shows up again for Thomas. He knows Thomas's faith is again hanging by a thread. And he shows up to Thomas and he says, peace be with you. And he says, see, look, just like I showed the other disciples, there's my hands, there's my side, go ahead and touch. It's okay. And then Thomas expresses just what the other disciples expressed too, that Jesus is Lord and God, and he is risen. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
And he is there with the disciples. And he says to the disciples, and to Thomas particularly, you know, have you believed because you've seen with your eyes? Is that why you believe? Because it was the same for the other disciples. I know we give Thomas a hard time, but his name in Scripture is Thomas or Didymus, which means twin, which in terms of the way John writes could mean he's a twin of the other disciples. He's just an example of the way the other disciples reacted too. So we don't want to give Thomas too hard of a time, because we're all there too. He gives the disciples what they need, and their faith hanging by a thread is restored and strengthened. And then he says, blessed are those who believe and yet haven't seen, or will believe but have not seen. And that's us, right? We believe in Christ. We believe in what he did for us. We believe in all of those things, but we haven't seen him. We haven't touched his hands and his side. So what does God give to us? So that we can speak to one another and say, peace be with you. I know the world's a mess. I know life is hard. I know our bodies don't hold up like they used to. I know life is a struggle. I know that it looks like it's on the brink of disaster, but peace. Peace be with you. What does God give us for that? Well, in John, he says, "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name." So he gives us his word. He gives us his word, the book that these things are written in, so that when we hear them, when we read them, when we study them, that faith is strengthened and peace is given. So this is essential, right? We can't do this gathering of the body without this. Otherwise, we're just here to sing songs and have a good time. And there's nothing to it. But because we gather with this, with the very word that is expressed in our singing, in our hymns, and in our scriptures, and in our liturgy, and in all that we do, we have peace. You have peace. Not just calm and quiet, but you have peace, a restoration, a shalom, as they say in the Hebrew, a peace of wholeness. With you, with God, with one another. Peace be with you, is what he says. Now, we could leave it at that and say that's all we need. But he goes further. He goes further because he knows we need the tangible. So he goes further, and every week that we gather. You want tangible. You want touchable. You want to see the holes in his hands and his side. He says, "Here, this is my body." And in faith, we say, "This is the body of Christ given for you." And we touch it and we taste it. You want the tangible that God gives us so that we can say we believe in Christ. That in faith we can say we have seen him. He gives us his blood too, shed for us on the cross for our sins. And he says, "Here, drink it." Don't just look at it. Don't just say there from a ways away and go, "Oh yeah, there it is." Drink it. Eat it. Take it into you, and that peace that is ours in Christ is one with us. Woo. All right. I'll be wearing it. There are worse things. Peace be with you. Believe that this is Christ the crucified for you. That this is his body and blood given and shed for you. And in him, you have peace. Amen. Now may that peace that is ours in Christ guard our hearts and minds always in the true faith to life everlasting. Amen. We continue this morning with the prayers of